You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes and Jamie Noodles McLennan. Ray Ferraro will join us from Vancouver. It's the NHL draft tonight, and we were just made aware. Ray's not going to the draft.
But would you? I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I mean, I guess he doesn't work the draft.
But I think what he's doing is exactly what I would do. He's talking to everyone. Like, everyone's in town.
Well, he would have been out for dinner with
That's what I'm saying.
Night.
I would go and meet people. I mean, you guys know I'm close with Pronger. I'd go for a beer with Pronger. I would see. I got a text last night. I woke up to it. This is a veteran move that I do every night. I put my phone on airplane mode. Because of different time zones, you get texts in the middle of the night. I woke up to one from player development in Columbus. You in Vancouver.
Right.
Nope, I'm not. You know, I sent the note back this morning saying, nope, not here. They didn't send us out this year.
Yeah, we didn't make the cut. Couldn't get out there. Next year, it's in Montreal.
We are going. Even if the Leafs trade away all of their picks, we're going.
Yes.
To Montreal.
We have to be in Montreal next year.
But you're right. Like, I a lot of people will reach out to me from the draft or my friends that are in the hockey business. You chat with them. But I would argue, Ray, everyone who's in town for the draft that he's close with, he'll go for a beer with. Like, he doesn't need to be sitting at the draft, like, watching guys get picked.
Right. I'm sure he's been to the draft many times. He has no connection to this wave of player.
Right. But it is nice to be visible. That's what you're saying?
No, I kind of assume that TSN would have been like, hey, can we get you for some hits? It's in Vancouver.
And he may have been
may have said, actually, no, you can't.
Actually, I'm done for the summer. You know that. I just called 800 games over at the World Championships. Like, we're going to have to ask him.
Oh, we'll get right to the bottom of
it. And we're not going to bring up the All-Star or
the fact that he screwed up his All-Star ballot?
His ballots or whatever? No.
Yeah, we do got to bring that up. We forgot to yesterday.
Because I voted, too. But as soon as I saw people tweeting it out going, Ray missed a couple, I'm like, oh, my God, I actually went through my list a few times, and then I sent, you've got to send it to like an analytics company, and they're the ones who go through it and then submit it. And I sent it to the guy saying, does this format look okay to you? Is there anything? He wrote back like a thumbs up, so I felt like I was okay.
Well, I think you got through. I didn't see your name come up.
No, that was one of my biggest nerve-wracking moments. In hindsight, I would go back and change a couple of my picks because I was on the fence, and then I thought about it after I sent send. It was, you're done, right?
Hey, it's out there.
But that was my biggest worry, is that you make a pick, and then you're one of like eight people going, that guy screwed up. You know, Ovechkin's not right wing, he's left wing. You know,
well,
that
Ray
type of
had
stuff.
To deal with that reality this week because it was exposed that he forgot to
choose three. He chose two.
Yeah. He did two instead of three left wingers or whatever.
Yeah, and for All Star.
So they just took the whole vote away
off,
from him.
Yeah. Like, on that particular.
For the All Star team. Like the three layers of All Stars or whatever. So we'll ask Ray about that. But it's the draft tonight. Every year there's so much hype and there's a million rumors. But as of 5 p.m., 2 p.m. Pacific time, nothing has happened. There's names out there. PK Subban's name is out there.
But I think he's been out there for a while, and I told you this off air. It's not on PK. They got to sign Roman Josi. And I think, personally, Roman Yossi's a better defenseman than PK Subban. So if I'm Roman Josi making $5 million, I think he's at 4.5, and he's been at that for a bit. And he's sitting there in the same dressing room as PK looking across and going, that guy's making twice the amount I am. Guess what? The minute I'm up, it starts with a 9, and we're going to go above that.
Oh, yeah. He's getting paid more than that.
So he's letting David Poile know, like, no problem. You've been paying that guy 9 while I've been the guy. I'm next.
Well, PK has 3 years left at $9 million.
And he's a very good player.
He's 30. There's a lot of teams in the league that have to be interested in that. Have to be. But,
you'd be interested, but can you fit it?
Well, exactly. Like, I know people in Toronto because he's from here and everyone loves, you know, PK, but how can you possibly fit in $9 million? Unless you get rid of...
Well, put it this way. You could fit it in, but you're throwing, like, bye-bye Kapanen, bye-bye Kadri, bye-bye Marleau, bye-bye Zaitsev, Am I missing somebody else?
No, but that's probably where you're going to start.
That's where you're starting. And you're getting Marner at not 11 and a half. You're getting him at 10, if you
can. On a short-term deal.
Right.
Right, because that's, I guess, another part of the holdup right now with the Marner camp and the Maple Leaf camp is
right.
The Leafs don't want to go to $11 million. Marner isn't interested in a long-term deal all of a sudden, according to reports.
Actually, I misspoke because maybe it's Kapanen. I'm sorry. Maybe it's Nylander. Like, maybe that, like, I know the verbal promise or whatever was made, but I wouldn't trade Nylander. I wouldn't. I think he's a part of the core, and I think he's a very good player that...
He will rebound.
He'll rebound. But if you're talking somebody of that magnitude, that... And we're just hypothetical. That could be a guy, but if you're getting PK Subban into your organization, you're for the most part, unless you're Ottawa, unless you're Arizona, I believe Montreal has room. Not every team. The Oilers couldn't afford him right now.
No, you can't.
Like there's not a lot of teams that could afford $9 million taking that on.
Which again is going to put Nashville in a tough spot because you're not going to get full value for PK Subban.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to know that there's an element of dumping him.
Right.
Like, you have to get him off the books. So people are going to be like, well, then I'm technically doing you a favor.
Right.
And furthermore, it's a big commitment for us.
Right, right.
So I don't know what kind of value PK Subban would have. He'd have some, for sure. And he's still a great player.
Right, right.
But the dynamics of the trade are going to be, it's going to be a kind of like a Jacob Trouba type of scenario.
Yeah.
Where you're not going to get full value, and you're probably not going to be better on paper right away.
Yeah.
Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What do you make of PK Subban's name being out there?
I wouldn't say I'm surprised. I believe that Nashville prioritizes Josi Ekholm, Ellis in front of Subban, and they've got to try and make some money work, and if he can, I mean, that's 3 years still at $9 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Left for him,
yeah.
And I'm not really surprised. I mean, I know he's a gigantic name. I don't see him as effective as a player as he used to be. No, I don't, and that's not just because of his injury. I mean, last year gets thrown in the blender a little bit because he was banged up and he never really was quite right physically, but I don't see him as the player that he used to be just even a couple of years ago. He's 30 years old, right? And he's had a lot of miles on him, and I don't disregard his abilities, but I don't know that I'd want to spend $9 million on my cap on PK Subban, because you can't separate one from the other. Right, like I know, like, don't you think, like they're now, it's at the point where it all matters. It doesn't, you can't say, oh, I like the player, but not the cap hit. Well, that means it doesn't matter if you like the player. Then it's, you look at the whole picture, and I don't want to spend $9 million on my cap on PK Subban.
Yeah, but that is the reality in a hard cap situation.
You can't even dance around it.
No, but we judge players now on what they make. Because do they live up to their contract? I mean, all we talked about in the last couple of days, Kevin Hayes, 7.1, quite rich. Is he going to live up to it? Well, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But, you know, William Nylander, wow, that's a lot of money for a guy who didn't do much. Mitch Marner wants this. And it's all about money. And that's why, Brian, and I thought we had a pretty good chat the other day. Was it 2 days ago where we were actually just looking at players? Players and ages, not money. And, you know, I like PK Subban. You're right. Now at 30 years old, there's some mileage on him. It's interesting the minute you said 30, because Shea Weber, he missed almost a calendar year of mm-hmm. hockey and hit the ground running.
And he's 4 years older than PK.
But he doesn't show any signs. I don't think Shea was really fast to start off with, but I think he's going to age like Chara. I think he'll be able to adapt to the game for the strengths. He's never going to be fast enough to win a guy, beat a guy in a foot race, but he's going to be strong enough to battle position. So it may not look as bad. I know there's a ton of people that are like, oh, how could have Bergevin done that for Weber for Subban? they both could age kind of the same when you think about it.
See, you mean Weber and Chara?
I'm sorry. Yeah, Weber and Chara, but I'm talking Subban now is at 30, and he looks like he's starting to slow down a little bit. Looks a little bit different, like you said.
His game is different.
Correct.
Right? His game is, you know, has been being elusive and agile and bold with the puck, and unless there's a different game in there, I don't know that it can age the same way.
Right.
You know, and that's why, you know, I believe in a lot of things we try to make, you know, we try to make some kind of blanket all-consuming statement that fits for everybody, but they're all different. And one 30-year-old's not like another 30-year-old.
Exactly.
There are some guys that can, like until last year, I mean, Patrick Marleau's, his age didn't seem to matter, and then all of a sudden it mattered. But it wasn't at 31, it wasn't at 32, it was at 39 when it mattered, and that's not going to be the case for some other guys.
Yeah.
Well, Carolina Hurricanes, it kind of sounds like they might be up to their old tricks again here, because Pierre LeBrun is reporting that Carolina is now shopping Justin Falk because they met with his camp today, and I guess they didn't hear what they wanted to hear. Falk had the audacity to actually ask for, like, you know, market value and some money and some term, and now I guess he's got to be flipped, you know, which is eerily similar to what happened with Lindholm a year ago, where he had one of those meetings in the morning, and then he was in Calgary by that night. So if Falk is, in fact, the one in Carolina, not Pesci, not Hamilton, he's got a year left on his deal at like 4.8, I believe. What kind of value do you think he would have?
Only difference with the value on the contract is I believe he's paid, I think his real cash is higher this year.
It is,
I think I read that.
Yeah,
right?
$6 million.
So that takes out a team that, you know, is, you know, we'll say Arizona. That's going to take out a team like Arizona. They don't want the real cash. They want the higher cap number. But I think Justin Falk would have, you know, would have significant interest. The caveat is he's got 1 year left on his deal. And if I remember right, that Lindholm deal, it was Lindholm and Hanifin. Calgary got them signed within 10 days.
Yeah, quick.
For 5 and 6 years. So you'd hate, if you're going to make that deal, you have to be, I would suspect, relatively certain that you're going to be able to sign Justin Falk, that that's what you would want to do, because Carolina would be pushing for a pretty significant return. And as it turned out, it was a money deal for them, but it turned out just fine. Now we'll see what happens, because it doesn't sound like they're going to sign Michael Ferland. That was one of the trade pieces. Adam Fox didn't want to sign with them. They traded him to the Rangers, so that was another one of the trade pieces. You know, so you got to look at what the return is, and can they keep those guys too? I mean, there's going to be a challenge in Carolina, because expectations will be higher, and, you know, can they be what they were this year, which was a playoff team again? But I think Falk will have value and interest for sure.
What do you make of Kyle Dubas adjusting his tune, changing his tune, where mid-season when he was asked about the threat of an offer sheet, he kind of scoffed at it and said, you know, get out of here. Don't even bother me with that kind of stuff. We're set up. We'll match anything. I don't lose any sleep. I'm not even going to think about it. It'll be a bodily function. I'll just press accept or match. And now last night he's like, well, you know, you have to think about it. No guarantees. Everyone's aligning that to the Marner camp, maybe the Kapanen camp. Basically a shot over the bow, like, hey, watch yourself, guys, because it isn't a guarantee you're going to be playing here if you do, in fact, go out and get that offer sheet. What do you make of that from Dubas?
I think the people discussing the offer sheet possibility have gained momentum, and it becomes, whether it's fueled by those players' camps or not, it becomes a negotiating salvo in public. And this is the rebound and the volley back from the Leafs. That, you know, just as you said, it's, you know, don't think just because you're going to sign an offer sheet that it's an automatic we're going to match and we're going to go happily ever after. Maybe we won't match. So it's trying to give somebody something else to think about. I, you know, again, remember with the offer sheet, you know, I can't just offer sheet noodles. He's got to sign it.
Yeah.
Right. I can say, here's $8 million a year. And if he says, yeah, but I don't want to sign it, well, then it's not an offer sheet. It's just an offer. And so there's a difference. The second that player signs the offer sheet, that means he's telling you he is willing to leave. He is willing to go to a new place. And so I believe just in those comments, it's before you sign that, you know, they've probably already been told privately that, hey, look, if we can't get this thing done, we're going to at least talk to other teams. Before you sign it, make sure, because there's no guarantee we're going to match it up.
There have been a lot of people poking and prodding me, trying to get to this new video review rules and the adjustments,
yeah,
because everyone's well aware of how I feel about it. And this is, I guess we have to wait and see it all play out. But Bettman and company, they announced it yesterday that the league's general managers have approved lifting limits on the number of times a coach can challenge a play during the game for goalie interference, offside, and this is where it really gets sticky for me, and added the element of possible missed calls that would have resulted in a stoppage in play before a goal was scored. So they're going to have to clarify that, aren't they? Like, there's got to be parameters. Like,
Brian, I think they fall down on their nose every time on this. So instead of that last phrase, which now door for, in all of our minds, 142 different things.
Right, right.
Why not just put down including hand pass, high stick direct pass, puck off the netting, like whatever the five or six things are, put them down. Because and I'll give you an example that I remember the very first time we had a offside challenge on a TSN game. I was, a game that I was doing anyway. The goal went in, and I was starting to do the highlight, and I hear in my headset from the producer, there's a challenge. And I remember thinking, for what? The guy just shot it in the net, and it was on the entry. Like, nobody had even considered, we hadn't considered that was a possibility, because it was only written that offside could be challenged, not that they could go back 3 minutes and check, you know, or 30 seconds and check the entry. And so the more you leave it open-ended, and it never turns out well. Close the detail off. Let us know what it is. So the fans, we'll figure it out eventually, because we'll get a little more information, but that the fans aren't watching the games going, well, why are they reviewing this and why not that? And pretty soon, if you review this, why don't you review that? You know it. It's going to happen.
Oh, it's a slippery slope. This is what I've been ranting and raving about.
Where's the stop?
You
Where's
have
the line?
To put in parameters, because, like, this is so open-ended. What if it's a four-minute shift in between whistles? What if there's just back and forth?
Brian, it can't be that, because the play that would. Oh, you're saying that the missed call
was 3 minutes ago.
Right, there's a hand pass. It should have been a stoppage, and
right,
it could go on for. Right, I understand.
That's what
you're
I'm
right.
saying. That would have been that's what it says here. You know, the possible for missed calls that would have resulted in a stoppage of play.
Well, you know what this says,
guys. 2.5 minutes ago, there was a trip in the neutral zone.
This should is lawyer, it. But it's lawyer
no,
speak.
No, not that. Not that. That my understanding, guys, that is not reviewable.
Okay. But even,
is,
you know what I'm
is
saying.
What is reviewable, though, is a glove pass.
Right.
Say I glove the puck to my teammate at center ice. Nobody catches it for whatever reason, and the play goes on for 30 seconds and we score. They can go back to that glove pass.
Right.
That would have been a direct stop.
Which is so ridiculous.
Yes.
And there's no way anybody wants that. Like, you can't convince me anybody wants that. It's no one shows up, no one buys a ticket for that. Oh, no. Reviewing something that happened then that had no effect on anything? Why are we doing this again?
I think when it's cut and dry, people understand it. The minute you start to get into, I call it lawyer speak, where it's subjective and there's gray areas with it, now all you're doing is opening another can of worms. You're pushing it to a different side.
Well, and I think with this whole major penalty review, I don't quite understand why they would stop where they stopped here, because they've also, they're going to add the ability for an official to review a major penalty.
Right.
But after the review, it has to either be a major or a minor. What if you review it and you're like, it was a complete phantom call? Why would that guy get a minor penalty?
Yeah, I the fact that they
had... He can't go from 5-0, correct?
No, he's not. That's the point. No, he can't.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm saying. If you review it and you go, "Oh, I totally bought," the guy didn't even touch him. Why is the guy getting two?
Example to that. I'll give you the example to that. A guy gets hit in the face with a stick, and it's in a cluster, and it turns out it's his own teammate that hits him.
Right,
right. So nobody should get a penalty on that play.
But as I'm understanding this, that's a 5-2.
You have to still get a two.
That's where I think. Every time you try and, you know, make things a little bit more clear, they get a little bit more muddled, because there's always going to be one or two exceptions to this. If you want to get away us arguing about it, I still come back. I don't know if I'm right on this, but there just has to be an ounce of common sense. You're not going to get every call perfect, but what it does is give you a layer to take away the egregious ones. The Timo Meier, you know, hand pass, the Cody Eakin major penalty. Those can, just with the common sense clause where a ref gets another peek at it and goes, yeah, we missed that one. Or shot straight over the glass. Colton Parayko fires it straight over the glass. And all four refs are convened underneath the Jumbotron trying to ask each other, did that go straight out? When we're all at home and every guy in the building is watching it on the Jumbotron. It's just common sense. Like, it to me, I think they're trying to do that, but there's just way too many, you know, layers to it. Well, if it doesn't do this and if it doesn't do that, I think you can simplify it and still take away a lot of these egregious calls.
Well, I've come to this, I guess, in the last 6 months, guys, is that each time they add something to the rule book, it becomes more and more convoluted.
Right.
I believe they need to basically go back to the drawing board with the rule book. There's a bunch of rules in there that don't really make sense. They convolute over top of each other. They intertwine with other rules. Just go through, get a couple of referees, a couple of retired referees, a couple of GMs, a couple of retired GMs, a couple of players, a couple of players, recently retired players, go through the rule book at the start of a summer, basically sweep it clean and make it of today's rules, and then start again. Because right now there's so much gray, there's so much change and possible change that the players will not understand. I can guarantee you this, because we never understood the changes a lot of times when we played. The fans won't understand. The officials will have to be on top of this, and it's bloody hard to be on top of it because things change all the time. How about just scrub it clean a little bit, and instead of adding to video review, say, these are our video review policies, whatever they might be. Because right now it's patchwork, patchwork, patchwork. It's like a house. You drive down the street and you see a guy's added onto his house four times and paints each addition a different color. That's what the rule book is.
You know what? It's actually, it would be a brilliant idea, and they can do it. It's their league. This isn't legislated by the Supreme Court.
Just rewrite.
They could just say, you know what? We've decided. We've been around for 100 years. We've got the parameters. Like, it's not like you're going to come back and say, now no one uses sticks anymore. We've decided.
Right.
Like, you know the rules that are going to continue to be the rules, but why not rewrite it?
Simplify.
Why not upgrade your sport? Yeah, just to clarify stuff. And listen, I don't like review, but if it's going to be here, I want it to be simplified.
Cut and dry.
I want it to be cut and dry. Like, this is, again, this whole major and minor scenario, this doesn't help the ref, because the ref is still going to get hated on when he gives a minor for something that should have been nothing. Yes, it's not as bad as a five, but you're still like, if it's your home team, you're like, why did he get two?
Yeah,
like, what's the point of two if he didn't do anything? If you can review it, just say, sorry, it's nothing. Continue with play.
Wouldn't you agree this is an opportunity? Like, if they look at it as an opportunity instead of trying to patch this thing up, it's an opportunity to start clean, because we're at a new time. We never had video possibilities 15 years ago.
Right.
Well, now we do. Never mind 50 or 100 years ago. This is an opportunity to redesign it. But as you say, we're not starting with rules that that we're adding rules. We're just clarifying what's there. I think there's an opportunity in this for the officials to get on the same page with the league, because they're not, because the officials see things different than hockey operations. There's no question about that. And that's okay. But how about try to meld the two views a little bit instead of having these wildly disengaged views all try to fit into one book? It doesn't work, or it hasn't worked anyway, and this doesn't seem to be clearing anything up.
Well, and I would throw a third and fourth party into it. You know, you can get the players involved, and I would have basically an entertainment wing that can represent fans, not in terms of fans having votes on the rules. But you talk about common sense. Someone that's in there and going, guys, like, we're in the entertainment business.
Right.
I don't think people want to pay $300 for tickets and deal with this kind of garbage. Like, take into consideration what feels right.
Do you imagine they have a grit grinder on a couch in the corner and go, what do you think of this?
Well, I'm not saying you put it up for vote for some guy on his couch, but I honestly, I don't think leagues take into consideration enough what fans really want.
Viewership,
what people watching at home and what people in the building want. Because all they think of is, this is my world. Like, I only care about winning tonight, not the guy who's just here to have fun. I'll
give you one example, though, and I think you can live with it, is it took what felt like 5 hours to play that last, minute? No, the last, 4 seconds of the Raptors.
The finals.
The finals.
There's no way fans want that.
They don't
like
want
that.
It, but
find
they,
a way to figure
they
it
got
out.
It right. And I think that's what people will, you know, ultimately look back on, is if you get it right, I think people can be a little bit more forgiving.
Right.
Because these storylines that came out of the playoffs this year, it wasn't a good look. And that's where I think people are frustrated. I'll sacrifice 5 minutes of my personal time watching them get it right, just so that they do get it right. And I think that's, maybe I'm in the minority.
No, you're probably not. But
Noodles, I don't think you're in the minority at all. But I still think this is an opportunity to clean up all of the little loose fringe edges that just kind of sit around there that they're trying to clean up, but you'll never clean them all up because the game is the way the game is.
Well, the minute that you said going into the rule book and clarifying, I don't know how many times I've sat on a panel and a goaltender interference call has come up and we've had an internal email and, oh, this is 86.2, but in 86.1 it says this, and how does it, you know, which one is interpreted with this? And so you're almost, like I say, you're going back and if you don't have the patience to read through it all, and you almost feel like you need to be a lawyer to understand all the language in it, like it is an opportunity potentially to clean it up and make it more straightforward for everyone to understand the rule book.
I think the worst thing I read about that is the coaches can have unlimited challenges.
Yeah. Now they get penalized more, but still.
But if they keep getting it right, and they say the refs have a bad night and they challenge 4 times.
Yep, that's right.
Oh, seriously, here we are back to the well again.
Awful.
Oh, yeah.
Awful. And that's where my entertainment element comes into play.
Well,
who wants that?
You know,
nobody. Like, there's no way a fan wants that.
You know,
the coaches do.
Yeah, but you know, there's going to be a coach that challenges 4 times and loses 3 of them.
Let's say you're down 3-0, and it's going to be 4 at the end of the first. You're like, it's either over or not. I don't even care if I take it 2.
Yeah,
forget it. I'm going for it because I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
And
anyway,
and along the entertainment thing, I can't believe they haven't got these challenges sponsored by somebody.
Yeah.
Make some money while you can.
Jiffy
Lube.
Oh,
you might as well. Like, today's, you know, this challenge by, you know, Fred's muffler or something or other. I don't know.
Well, you know, in color, Ray, we have the new part, the Napa new part. The guy, goalie gets pulled. In comes the Napa new part.
That's all they are, a new part.
Exactly.
Capitalism, man. Take advantage. So you're not going to the draft tonight?
No, I'm going. I've got a couple of soccer things I got to take care of. But
okay.
They have this new thing called the television.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to follow it there. I believe it will be on television, or if I'm in the car, it'll be on the radio. So
oh, there
I'll
you
listen
go.
To it then.
Okay. Well,
I'm guaranteeing 100% Ferraro locked it. Hughes and Kako are the first 2 picks.
There you go.
There you go.
We'll hold you.
After
to it.
That, I don't know. How about you guys? Anyone want to jump on that?
No, I'll go.
I think
with that.
Jimmy Benning makes a splash.
You're on Jimmy. Something better happen. I mean, it's the hype of the every year. It's like this. Nothing is happening.
Feathers.
The Seinfeld episode. Nothing.
I think somebody should hire Costanza to run a team.
Yes.
Then everything will happen.
Then we've got action. All right, buddy. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again on Monday.
Yeah, you guys have a great weekend.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada, plus get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com. Gary Bettman. We'll get more into this stuff with Gary. I might have to
go. Can't. I was just
going
to say.
Oh,
you
I'm
can't.
Going Larry King. I need more.
I'll let you go Larry, but
just with the
yelling and screaming.
No, I'm not going to yell and scream, but I want an explanation. Why, if you review it and it wasn't a penalty at all, is it still a 2-minute? In what universe would that make any sense?
Yeah.
I throw it up. I think it was a 5. It looked bad from my angle. Oh, I looked at it. Turns out it was a complete phantom call, but you still have to go do.
Yeah.
Sit in the box for 2 minutes. It doesn't make any sense.
Get some clarification.
So we'll get into that. We're tracking Kawhi. We think he might be at Wonderland tomorrow.
Potentially.
The Skywalk down at CN Tower on Sunday. He's got a book. Tourist Kawhi is making things happen in Toronto.
Exactly.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, the Rolling Stones, they're officially on tour, I think, either tonight or tomorrow in Chicago. I know their tour begins in Chicago, and it's tonight.
Up.
Yeah, man, so probably be some videos of the boys up there doing their thing, and they're going to be in Toronto next weekend. On June 29th, the Rolling Stones are taking over Burrows Creek Event Grounds.
Wow.
A lot
How many people
a bunch
can
of,
get in there?
Fair amount. Like, it's a pretty decent festival type of crowd. And there's a bunch of Canadian bands that are going to be playing up there, too. And eventually the big boys are going to get on stage. It should be fun.
Yeah, that would be impressive. But yep. That, outdoors, mosquitoes, mosquitoes are out of control right now. I can't even imagine people heading up north right now.
I have not been up north yet, so I haven't encountered any mosquitoes. Do you have mosquitoes by your place?
It's been not bad. Like, I was setting up some chairs and stuff outside today, but yesterday, kind of by the grass, all hell was breaking loose. Like, my daughter had a soccer game the other night.
Yeah.
And I went right at the end. Like, it's awful.
There's nothing worse than when you're walking onto a city park.
Yeah.
That hasn't been mowed. Like, the lawn hasn't been mowed recently. So you can feel it. Like, if you're wearing shorts and, running shoes or flip-flops or whatever, you can feel the grass, up your calf.
Yeah.
And you're something's going on down there.
Yeah, and there's ticks out there and stuff.
Yeah. Something's going on.
I'm telling you right now, I don't know the all semantics, but, I don't think you can spray now anymore. They used to spray. I don't know, I had no problem with it. Again,
I don't
come at me with mosquito,
I don't
protect
know if that's,
your people.
Provincial or federal or what?
To me, over swamps, you should put a nice little layer of some sort of thing that makes them go away.
Oh, see, I totally disagree on a swamp. What are you doing at a swamp?
Well, people back onto house and you there's
that's
some
your
water
problem.
Down there.
That's your a swamp.
Well,
what are you, a witch? Who's buying a house with a swamp in the backyard?
I don't know. Like, some water down like a
bayou?
Ravine. Yeah, like a ravine or something. Say
okay,
back
I got you
onto
with a creek or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, like you have to make sure. Okay, you're a golfer. You don't want mosquitoes on. Like, if there's
No, but I understand going in. I get it. If I'm going to a golf course, and especially if it's up north, there's a chance. There's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
So
I guess
I think around your door, if you've got a patio or something, because the old school move, and I don't know if they can use these anymore either, was like the blue zappers. Remember those?
Yeah, I bought
the zappers, man. And you just there'd be some nights you'd hear that thing.
It would just tick tick tick.
It'd be karaoke.
Are they illegal?
Singing songs.
Are they illegal now?
I kind of feel like the blue zapper you can't use anymore.
If you could find one, I would use one. But I bought something online the other day, and it showed up at my house.
Was it American? Because
no,
the Americans
was,
allow
was,
you to do whatever you want.
It was a .ca, so it was a Canadian company, and it's propane, and mosquitoes go near it and kind of get sucked up, and then I think they dry out in there.
Yeah,
it's like the proper way to make sure they go away. I don't know, I don't want, from
a moral standpoint,
I don't want any mosquito protectors coming at me, you know, some protest outside my house. I'm just saying,
yeah, leave that noodles alone.
I live in an area where it backs onto some woods and stuff. I want my kids not get chewed alive.
Okay,
that's where I bought it online in Canada, and I think you hook it up to propane and the mosquitoes go away. Or maybe it emits something.
Sends out a bit of a vibe, like, leave us alone here.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a pair of tickets for the Rolling Stones.
Excellent.
Phone lines are open. I don't know if you've already given them away. Okay, you already did. There you go. Because we just started rambling. We never really made that announcement.
About mosquitoes. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that was my bad, too. I didn't even get through the full read. But next week, we have pairs of tickets to see the Stones up at Burroughs Creek as well. We're giving those away every show next week.
Fantastic.
And we promise we'll get the whole readout, and then we'll open up the phone lines. So some sneaky little devil got in there the second the grappler opened up the phone lines.
Yeah.
And you're going to see the Stones. So shout out to the Stones, and shout out to whoever's going up there. It sounds like Vladdy Guerrero Jr., Marley Rivera from ESPN, just posted a tweet and a video where Vladdy was asked about whether or not he wants to partake in the Home Run Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he will.
Yeah.
And according to the video, according to Vladdy Guerrero Jr., he said he absolutely plans on doing that.
That's not...
Now, I don't know if that means it's official or not, but Marley Rivera, the tweet's up on TSN4. You know, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is going ahead and participate in the Home Run Derby ESPN. I love it.
How are you chosen? Like, you just asked to go?
Yeah, they send out invites to the big guys. You know, like the biggest guys are going to get invited. A lot of them who have been in it before, like, no, I'd rather pass. I just want to hang out.
Doesn't he have seven home runs?
Who, Vladdy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's more about his name and the way he turns on balls.
Right. You know, so they know he's not going to have a problem knocking it out of the park.
I can totally understand why baseball wants him. Like, right. He's one of the most hyped prospects in years. He's got the Guerrero name. He is... You know, it's violent the way he turns on balls. So there's no science to it. You know, you don't have to play a certain amount of games.
I just thought maybe totally you have arbitrary. To be like leading, you know, doing something in statistical category or something like that.
Like Edwin is, I think, leading the American League in home runs.
Yeah.
I guess it might be Mike Trout now, actually. But I don't think Edwin will take part. I don't think Trout will take part. Yelich, you know, he's obviously lighting up the National League. I would assume they'd ask Christian Yelich, but these guys, a lot of the veteran guys are like, nah, you know, I've done it before. I'm not interested. Some guys think it really messes with their mojo.
Really?
Like it really throws off their swing.
So
because, you know, you're up there. There's no rhyme or reason. You're just violently swinging, trying to knock the ball out of the park.
You go back to games and you're messed up. You've got to readjust.
Right.
You remember in the All-Star game in the NHL this year? Now, John Gibson was early Vezina candidate. And then he went to the All-Star game and got torched. And he was never the same the rest of the year. Now, Anaheim was terrible. I think they lost 18 or 20 in a row. They got to a point where Randy got the gate.
Yeah, that was enough for Randy.
But something messed with his mojo there. So it's almost that scenario where it's not really game-like. It's not very natural. And then you get back to real gameplay, and it messes with your, like you say, your timing or your psyche as well.
Well,
it's great for Toronto. It's at least positive, to watch.
Put them on a platform because you're not going to get it. You know, the Jays are never on. It doesn't matter if they're on in the States or not. They're on up here. We can watch them. But the Jays, just because of geography and how the ratings are calculated, they're never on Sunday Night Baseball. They very rarely play throughout the week on ESPN, MLB Network, whatever it is. Vladdy's the guy. You know, and I enjoy the Home Run Derby. There's not much else going on in the middle of the summer.
Right.
You know, it's the worst two or three days of sports because the grind of free agency in the NBA and NHL is over. The NFL is still two or three weeks away from guys showing up at camp.
Right.
It's early in the week. Baseball shut down. The CFL isn't playing. There's nothing going on.
Right.
So I'll be tuning in anyway.
For sure.
But now you put Vladdy on the map, I'm all over that.
I'll watch.
Lock it in. I'll check that out.
Well, and he may do some damage. Like, it would be unreal if he won it. That's the thing.
No kidding. Like, it's It's not quite Vince Carter winning the dunk contest.
Right.
But it would be...
He's already
be
on
big
the
for
map.
His profile.
Yeah, he's already on the map. This would get him another love.
It gets a lot of love.
Yeah.
It gets a lot of love. Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL. We have not had Gary on in, I don't think, like 2 years. And he's going to be at the draft. He's on the draft floor. We've got a mic set up there, so I guess he's going to pop by at 6:15.
Awesome.
We got to get into a number of things with Gary Bettman.
For sure.
So we'll do that. We're tracking all the rumors that are coming out of Vancouver with the NHL draft tonight, but nothing substantial is going on. Something eventually has to happen.
I'm telling you, big news is coming out of the draft this weekend.
You're calling it?
I feel it. Something's different this year. Something's different.
I'll believe it when I see it. It's like offer sheets.
Yeah,
I'll believe
it
when I see it.
You're right.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so we should get back to the emails that were coming in earlier. We got a bunch of people tweeting in and texting in as we were talking about Kawhi Leonard out of the gate of the show.
Yeah.
He was at the Blue Jay game last night. He was down in Niagara Falls earlier in the week. Like, he's in full-blown tourist mode.
Yeah.
Like, he is openly taking a page out of, like, Toronto tourism. Like, they wrote the book, and Kawhi's just reading it. And he's like, okay, today I go here, tomorrow I go there.
So Wonderland, where else is there to go?
I think Wonderland gets a lot of love. It gets a lot of love. I would assume Wonderland got to be on a short list for him. You get that new roller coaster. Apparently,
I drive by it every day.
Biggest roller coaster in the world.
I'd never go on it. I'm not good with rides.
Not your thing?
Not my thing.
Mosquitoes and roller coasters.
Outside, you know,
not
bugs, water, sunlight.
You're a vampire.
You name it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not good with those types of things. Especially, I get motion sickness. That's what it is. Those roller coasters, like, it's...
Well, if you have motion sickness, then obviously a roller coaster would not be a good idea.
It's a no-go for me.
Because apparently this new one, I don't know what it's called, but it is wild.
Well, they...
crazy.
The West Edmonton Mall one that's called the Mindbender, like that is, I believe, it's one of the biggest in the world indoor.
Oh, it has to be
coaster.
For sure for indoor.
It was like a 12-story drop, like something crazy. Now they had an accident there that killed people in the 80s.
Did they shut it down or did they?
No, I think
still in operation.
It's still in operation, but they sorted out. Like there was some. I think the back car came off and like killed four people. It was something. I remember being there that day at West Edmonton Mall. It was like 10 minutes from my house. It was terrible.
Right.
Horrifying, but.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
No, but the safety standards on all of these are, I hope, are quite high. But I do drive by Wonderland every day. It's fascinating. Like, I've been a few times.
See if you can find Kawhi. Oh, I've been there a bunch recently, too, now with kids and stuff.
Yeah, the
you know, I didn't go for like 20 years.
The water parks are, I enjoy the people watching there.
You're into the water park?
It is.
I don't picture you, you're not
a
water guy, though.
No, yeah. Just sit there in
just
a chair.
Just like a creep, basically.
No,
you're just creeping
on people. People out. My kids are in the water.
Right.
I'm not sitting there staring at people like...
The Bernie Lomax sunglasses right outside the woman's dressing room. Hey, I think that guy's on overdrive.
No way.
Please don't do that.
Exactly.
Someone texting in, got to be a zoo guy. Got to get to the Toronto Zoo, Kawhi.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I'm a fan of the Toronto Zoo. I think that's a good call.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's tracking what's going on with the Maple Leafs in the NHL draft tonight. Even last night with the NBA draft, like the Raptors didn't have a pick in the first, and it did not end up moving up. They took a kid late in the second round who didn't even play last year. So, you know, that's clearly a project.
Long-term project.
That's a Bruno Caboclo project, I would assume.
Caboclo.
But when you win the NBA title, like, that was pretty surreal last night watching Adam Silver come out and pumping the tires of the Raptors. And every time, you know, the panel was talking about it, anytime Wojnarowski, who was always the championship.
Yeah.
Toronto Raptors, the world champs, are on the clock.
He gave a lot of love.
So take advantage and bask in that.
I agree.
So we're tracking the whereabouts of Kawhi and what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard over the next week and a half. And Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, will join us at 6:15.